I want you to put your hands together.
There goes to the neighborhood.
And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
There goes to the neighborhood.
All right, I think we are recording now. Welcome back to the Smokescreen Podcast, the world's number 500 and... what is it, James? 952 on Apple iTunes now. Thank you, guys. That's really cool. I just got this email today, and it was a third-party service that tracks podcasts and all that good shit. And they said, congrats, you're number whatever in the U.S. I'm like, that's not bad.
It's not.
I mean, you think 952 is pretty bad, but I think there's probably, 100,000 podcasts? I don't know.
At least.
In the U.S. and growing every day. So anyway, wanted to shout out our newest Patreons. Thank you guys so much. This is going to support the podcast. Really appreciate it. So thank you to Lydia Quinn. Thank you to Ewan. Thank you to Doc Holliday. Thank you to Tanya Gradeless. Thank you to Bill. And thank you to Slope as well. Really appreciate the support,
thank you guys. Thank you.
Means a lot. And get this podcast off the ground. We're trying to make it legit. And hopefully soon, I heard today, we may have a studio sooner than I thought. So we'll see. But anyway, appreciate it, guys. This will be up early on Patreon and released to the public a day or two later. So really appreciate the support. Something pretty cool we're going to talk about today. We had an idea to start talking about some childhood stories. We have, by the way, a guest here. You hear me talk about my cousins all the time. You hear Eric and Chad. Eric's here in the house.
What's up?
We need a round of applause machine or something.
So
we wanted to talk about some childhood stories, but we was like, let's not just tell stories, right? Let's get into the memory thing. Are they accurate? Are stories accurate? So we brought Eric because we have shared stories, and I want him to tell a version, and I'll tell my version of something down the road here in this podcast and see how they compare. So we got on this little rabbit hole earlier, all of us, I think, about memory.
Yeah.
And how they're bullshit, essentially. Not the whole thing.
They're like fishing stories.
They're like fishing stories.
They can be edited.
Yes.
They're essentially, that's a good way to put it. They're actually edited every time you access them.
Yep.
So, I think it's really fascinating to me. So, basically what we're saying here is your memories are false in some way. I think the general thing that you're remembering at the time happened, but all the little details start to change over time. And it's not that you're lying. People are not lying about it. They actually remember that. Because every time, essentially, you access it, you're accessing the last time you accessed it.
And
it's a lot of physiological cool shit in the brain.
Safe to say your memories aren't completely false. We're saying parts of them are embellished a little bit, not intentionally, but, it's over time. You tell a story so many times, little details change. And then the next time you tell it, that little detail changes more and grows.
Right, and you're influenced by what you're going through at the time you access it. So if you are, I'll throw out a shitty example, I'm sure. But if you're remembering, James, your ghost story.
Yeah.
You never said what you were wearing that night, but you could be telling that story again, and you're wearing some loud, whatever shirt. Then maybe that gets put into your story when somebody asks something similar, something that and kind of suggests to you,
right?
Some kind of suggestion, and then the next time you say, "I remember I was wearing this crazy yellow shirt,"
yes,
or something.
I offer it up without
you
even being
offer
asked.
It up it without being
part
asked.
Of the story.
Exactly, and it becomes your reality.
Yep.
Well, I also need to add that, I have several stories that I've told over the years, and some of them are pretty damn funny.
Yes,
and
cannot tell here.
Well, what I was going to say is like for me, it's like the stories may not have been quite as exciting as I told them, but every time I would tell it, everybody's like getting laughs out of everybody. So maybe I embellish it a little more each time.
Right? Yeah, I remember specifically going to the beach when you still lived there. Me and Eric had lived at the beach years ago, and I came home with 2 years in or whatever.
And you don't do it like you say. You don't do it. It's not malicious. You're not doing it because you want to lie to people.
Yeah, you're not lying. You absolutely believe it.
But it's like it's almost like an entertainment value. It's like I need to throw some.
Well,
you start throwing some little details in there that might not be exactly true.
Well, I'm guilty of that. Once you tell a story and you get a certain reaction, the next time you tell it, you remember those. It's almost like being a stand-up comedian
Yes.
and working a joke out. It's like you remember the parts that got over mm-hmm. the first time you told it.
Right.
So you're more animated when it's coming up to that part. So you're really wanting to get those reactions again and again and again. So, yeah, your animation and, you know, amplification of this story can change the story.
Yeah, and then the more you're excited about it, the more people ask, and then you can add more to it, and you may not even mean to.
Yep. Right,
I mean, because
exactly.
if you're more animated in that part of the story, like the joke, the punchline, whatever it is, then people start asking, what about this, or what about that, or what about that person? Then that shit changes every time, and then every mm-hmm. time you access it, you're remembering the last time you accessed it. That's what's really intriguing about the whole neural network thing in the brain with the videos we were watching on how this works, you know, when a memory's formed. It's all biochemical. It's creating these neural pathways with proteins, and I'm not getting to all that, but the point is when you access that memory, you're not just like going back to that locker. You're recreating a path to it,
right.
and then things get overwritten, and so it's like a physical thing.
Like
a
hard drive.
Yes, very similar.
And I don't believe it's every time, because inherently we're all different, and some people do have better memories.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, sure.
So, yeah. It sucks to have a really vivid memory. Chris brought this up in the last podcast. We talked about ghosts. It sucks to have a really vivid memory that involves, say, a family member. Then you're in the room when the family member tells their version of it.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
you start going, wow, I remember that completely different. One of us is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you don't know who it is.
And Eric and I and Chad and I have had these conversations before, not thinking about this topic.
Yeah.
Because me and Eric share a bunch of memories. Me and Chad share a whole set of different set of memories, and then some of us all together. And they're all different.
Right.
And it was a joke before, James, and me and you did the, I can't remember which podcast it is because I have no memory. We were actually joking, I have no fucking memory. And I don't remember some of these things.
I was going to bring that up tonight.
I'm sure you were. I mean, this is perfect because Eric remembers shit that I have no clue what he's talking about. Now, other things I do, and we'll tell a story here shortly where we do both remember this story, but I'm curious to see what's different.
I am too.
I mean, it's just a little thing.
Still,
it's really odd.
Experiment and conversation we're going to have tonight.
Right,
well,
right.
I was going to say before we get into that, I don't know how it is for you guys, but I have memories. It's like I can remember... At least I think I do.
Yeah.
Like, I can remember all these little minute details of, like, what I was doing on a certain day. Where I was drinking a Pepsi Cola, and I was eating chips, and I was wearing a yellow shirt. But then I can't remember what I did yesterday.
So, yes. No,
yeah.
That's age. You stop creating all those neural networks.
Exactly.
They're deteriorating.
They're all deteriorating and falling apart.
But, yeah, it's weird for me. We joke about it, but it's weird. I don't remember like certain like whole years.
Same here. I'm getting
now. My mom's like that too. She'll tell me like, for example, she can remember first grade, third grade, fourth grade. She can't remember second at all.
Yeah.
I don't remember all my teachers' names. Certain years
same
I do.
Here, yeah.
It's really odd how that works and how, you know, I guess that's probably due to brain development and some weird shit going on when you're a kid.
Now, like in seventh grade, say around seventh grade, I used to love to sit there when you're with somebody you went to elementary school with and you are naming your teachers. And I used to take pride in the fact that I remembered from kindergarten
right.
all the way to sixth grade all my teachers' names. And then that starts fading. Mm-hmm. But like Chris says, only certain teachers fade out mm-hmm. of it. But the other ones stay locked in there. That has a lot to do with the impact they had on your life, I believe. Maybe how they looked, how they spoke.
Yeah, right. I think there's definitely something to that. I remember all my great teachers.
Yes.
And what I've got going on now is I can remember most of my teachers, but I don't remember the order. I don't remember who was what.
Yeah. Like, you start thinking, was she fourth or third?
Right.
Like, yeah. I don't, like Miss Cheney, I remember having her. But was that third or fourth grade? I don't know.
Yeah, it's really weird. This whole thing about this... these false memories and how they're really inaccurate and this and that. It's really odd because you start questioning everything.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what's real. So there is a, you know, you hear that a lot of people say, when I'm speaking my truth, okay, first, that's a bullshit term. There is no such thing as my truth. But in your head, it is.
And the way we're talking about it, it really is your truth.
Exactly, because yeah. you're not lying. You know, you actually believe this is what you're remembering. And you technically you are, But anyway, it's just so it's weird. Now I question everything. Like everything we're going to talk about or have talked about, I'm starting to question now.
Before we start this, let's go around the table real quick. Do you think, before we start this, do you think you have a good memory as we sit right now?
Well, like I just said, I think I have a good memory as far as I'm an artist by trade, so I do have a very detailed memory.
Right.
Like, but I don't know. I mean, yes and no. Yes in that aspect, but no from the aspect of.
So wait a minute. Maybe good long term, not short term, or something.
Yeah. I guess. Well. The other thing is, you know, we're all in our 40s now, and at least for myself, I would say that, like we just said, a lot of stuff that I think that I used to be very clear and very easy to recall, it's getting worse, not so easy anymore.
Right.
Even long term. But no, but I think I have a decent memory.
How about you, Chris?
Contrary to what we were just laughing at in the last couple podcasts, I actually do. I think I do because we can sit there on a video or a live stream, and I could pull up names from this fictional universe.
Exactly.
That started in 1977 or 1991, depending on what fictional universe we're talking about. Game of Thrones, Ice and Fire, Star Wars. So things like that, yes. But, again, there's these big chunks of time that I don't at all. And then I'm just starting to get, I think it's just more recently with age, I'm just starting to forget, like, in the middle of a conversation like this, I'll forget a name or a place, or I'll go, what was that? What was that dude?
That could be Alzheimer's. You might want to get that checked.
Or it could just be age. But no, it's like sometimes it comes and goes. It's really odd. But overall, yeah, I think I do. I think I do have a pretty damn good memory.
Remember when we were kids and we used to make fun of old people who couldn't remember our names?
Yes.
We're turning into them.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we heard that growing up. And now I did. I'm doing it to Camden and the dog.
Yeah. When you're young, you think, how can somebody forget a name?
I know.
It's so crazy. But yeah, for me, I honestly think I have a very vivid memory, a long-term memory that goes way back. I can have some really old memories from, say, 3 years old, which almost feels impossible. But, you know, as we know, there are people like, say, a Rain Man who remembers every day, of his life. He remembers every word of every book he ever read. So we
like
all
savants.
Have different brains, and some people might not be categorized as a savant, but they are borderline or something like that.
Or at least have some of those qualities or something. Yeah.
So for me to answer the question that I posed, I think I have a very vivid memory of my memories as I remember them. I think I
there
remember
you go.
Every detail.
He's skirting around the question. Is what he's doing. He's skirting around
I
it.
I really do. I think the memories that I have, the way I remember them, I do remember them very vividly and can recount them pretty much 90% accurately every single time I tell them. So
right.
That's the way I feel going into this podcast.
Right, yeah. And that's the way I felt before we started talking about this whole memory, false memory shit. Because when I do, you know, like the stories I remember them pretty vividly. But now I'm just questioning, are they right?
Right. Are they right?
Are they even close? I mean, I'm sure they're close. But, I mean, the general stories. But, yeah, I mean, it's really weird to think that damn, did I really go do that? Or was it this happened that way? Was it that person, or was it, you know what I mean? It's just, it's crazy. It's almost like the Matrix shit.
The way my mind does that, and I would be interested to see if yours does it too. When you recall a memory, I can start by thinking, okay, what house were we living in?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know the years we lived in that house.
Right.
And then so, you know, that kind of, I always go to things like that. Well, that was my dad's blue car. He had that when I was in second grade. So you start, you know, put yourself back into that time frame, and then the memories seem to start coming out a little bit better. Once
right.
you put yourself in that time frame.
Yeah, and it starts with something big, like a time, a year, or a location.
Almost like that movie, The Butterfly Effect, where the guy would actually think about it, and he actually, well, he physically went back in time, though, which was, you know, that was a movie, but you know which movie I'm referring to.
Yep.
I was going to say, for me, a lot of times my memories will be triggered more by a song or a smell.
Yeah.
I'll smell, you know, you smell cotton candy or candy apples, and you think about the fair, and then you start thinking about when you went to the fair.
Yeah.
And who with. Yeah. And what
that
year.
That free pass I got in fourth grade.
Right. I held hands with this girl in 1984.
Yeah. All those little details
talking about that song. That song earlier that you said you all associated with Columbia when you lived in Columbia.
Yeah. Angel in a Centerfold. Yeah. Every time I hear that song, I think about the house I lived in Columbia for a year when I was in first grade because this kid across the street blasted it when he was washing his car.
Yeah.
You know, probably 16, 17 years old. And every time I hear it, that's what I think of.
And so you know that if that memory involved three kids, when I was in Columbia, that would have had to be Johnny and Larry because that's the kids that I hung out with in Columbia. It all starts coming back once you get those milestone memory things.
Mm-hmm. Those big markers.
Yeah, markers.
Yep.
Which I also need to add a side note to that. Y'all can look this up, people listening at home. You guys can too. But I actually seen something the other day that they were talking about Alzheimer's. We mentioned Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's patient in older people, that's one of the areas of the brain that never truly lose, that they can play music and bring people back.
Yes. I've seen some of that.
Yeah, which is, I think, is fascinating that music is so powerful with our memory.
Yeah, and because I think the same principle there, it's taking them to that time.
Mm-hmm.
And once they're in that time, the other memories start.
Right, and, and that's what I'm saying. This is people with cognitive disorder, you know, dementia and everything. You know, a lot of times they don't even know who they are or how to eat and things, but they could play music in it. There's one video of this older gentleman sitting there, and they start playing the music, and he starts bebopping, and his eyes get big and everything.
I've seen that.
Yeah, something's going on in there. It's like the other day, I did the Star Wars reaction video, and I said it in the video. When I hear that music, I think of my dad. And then I was like, I got to go take my dad to see this movie because he took me to see the first one.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. And so I called him that day and I said, are you home? No, I'm somewhere else. I'm like, shit, I was out coming by there. So, this music is, I mean, that's a whole separate thing. Music is powerful. But it triggers something. It triggers, it opens up that spot, you know, in your brain, in your head.
Heck yes. So I guess you guys go ahead with your little experiment here.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, which one do you want to start with? I don't know. We have the tackling one, and we have the tent one. And you can probably start something that I may remember because I don't remember it. That's what I'm saying. I have these blocks that are just gone.
Let's start with the tent one.
Okay.
And I'll tell you exactly how I remember it.
All right.
I lived at 907 Klondale.
Yes.
You lived, I think you was, this is when you were staying with your dad every other weekend.
Yep.
You came up. We spent the night. We were going to camp out in the backyard.
Yes.
We were out there and we got in a tent. We set up a checkerboard. We're sitting there playing checkers. By the way, I've gotten better, but I used to be a little bit of a hothead. That's an understatement. I guess the testosterone started dropping now. So
that is.
Let's just say the Hulk.
Yeah. So for some reason, I thought Chris was cheating. I got pissed off and I flipped the board over. So caught him, low down cheater and everything. Got pissed off and wanted to fight and stupid kid shit. And then, needless to say, we ended up in the house. I don't remember if my mom talked to us or anything. But anyway,
I know why you thought I was a cheater because your mom always had that in your head. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I remember that's the basics.
But
that's,
we got over it, obviously, but...
Or did we? Okay, I remember this. All right, same thing at your house, Klondale, camping in the backyard. I don't remember. I remember just like a pop-up tent. We were playing. I remember a board game. I couldn't remember if it was checkers, chess, or like Monopoly or something, but I do remember a board game.
Right.
You got mad and flipped the board, and you started punching me in the arm this way, like that little quick little, like, because you went into Hulk mode.
Right.
And the only way to get Eric out of Hulk mode is to hit him in the face. So he starts doing this on my arm, like in the bicep, right? One of those quick little rabbit punches. Mad because I guess you're saying you thought I cheated.
Right.
King me.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, right hook.
Yes. So I remember you doing that, and then I'm, like you said, I've always been the cool-headed one, but that pissed me off, and then I hit you in the face. And then I don't remember after that if we went inside.
Actually, I think, Mom, Chris hit me.
Probably. Yeah, we'll get into – we don't want to get into all that, but yes, probably so. So, yeah, I mean, we remember the basics. That was basically how I remembered it, except you didn't – did you remember
– I don't remember hitting you.
Yeah, you were doing this.
I don't remember any fighting at all. I just remember words.
No, it wasn't really much as much as a fight as it was you doing your little rabbit punches on my arm right here.
This was stupid.
I'm pointing my right above my bicep, by the way. I know we're on a podcast.
Yeah.
You were doing that because you used to do that when you was a kid, when you get mad. And then I just got mad after a couple seconds of that or whatever it was and hit you, and that was the end of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember, Chris, do you remember the board getting flipped?
Yes.
Okay.
I do remember the board being flipped. I couldn't remember if I flipped it or if he did, because I was thinking that he either accused me or said something, and then I may have flipped it, and then he got mad and hit me. And started doing the rabbit punches, but I think he did flip it. I don't know exactly.
Ask you guys some questions here.
Uh oh.
All right. Here we go. Do you remember your sleeping bag, or do you remember whether you had like just blankets and pillows?
I don't remember the sleeping stuff. I remember a stool that the board was on.
I don't know if we were actually intending to sleep in the tent or not, or we were just going to playing and going.
Yeah, I don't remember either, but I do remember in the middle we had a stool or something like a stool where the board was sitting on in the center of the tent.
How was it lit up in there?
Probably, I think we had a flashlight.
All right.
I do remember a flashlight. Or did we run a drop cord?
I think we run a drop cord.
I don't know. I just remember a light. I don't know if anybody was holding a light or because we certainly wouldn't sit here holding a flashlight.
I think it was a drop cord and a shop light.
That's probably what it was because your brother worked on cars and we had those shop lights hanging around.
Yep.
I think.
Whose tent was it?
It was mine.
It was his tent.
What color was it?
No idea. I just remember like a small four-man pup tent style. Yeah. That's the style. That's what I pictured. Whatever they sold
at Kmart or Zayers.
Gotcha. Zayers, exactly. Zayers.
All right. Cool deal. Did you have snacks packed out there?
I think we did have some snacks.
No idea.
All right.
I remember the board, the rabbit punching.
All I'm trying to do is trigger something.
That's all I'm trying to do.
I don't really recall any. We might
have
had
there
some,
a third
cause,
party?
Because see, I don't remember. No. Like I went to his house all the time in those days, and I don't remember ever having bags of snacks anywhere. I'm sure we did.
Yeah.
I just don't remember the details of like. I remember watching Doctor Who and horror movies and watching Reese draw and us starting to draw.
And listen to my mom.
But I don't remember food. Yeah, and listen to your mom. Yeah, exactly.
They would start farting. And it's like, you ever seen Clumps? That was my house.
Yes, the Clumps. I think I get my colon clean. Exactly. This was the Clumps.
How old were you guys?
I want to say about 7 or 8.
Yeah, I mean, probably. I don't know.
You lived on Klondale? See, there you go. You can look at that house.
Yeah, I think we'd have to be about 10.
Maybe. I think we were. Because we were. I think we were old enough that did you ride your bike up there?
Yes.
I couldn't ride my bike at the time,
only in the yard. So I rode the 10-speed, the blue old 10-speed that my dad gave me up there, and that's how we traveled then. And then he, for a while, could not ride out of the yard.
Yeah.
His mom.
Until I was like 14.
Exactly. He would have to ride in circles in the yard, and then we'd start going down the road and going whatever. So he didn't ride to my dad's house much at first. I rode up to his house.
Yep.
So yeah, that's all I remember about that story. Unless you pull something else out, but yeah, I mean it's crazy. So he didn't remember the hitting part. He just remembers the board flipping.
But now that you mention it, yeah, I'm like, okay, that was one of my little. That was my thing.
It was like a tick of his, you know, on your shoulder or arm.
Well, I can tell you what it was. I wanted to be mad and I wanted to fight, but I also didn't want to hurt you because you're my cousin.
Right.
It was all
about how that goes. Yeah.
And for a little background for that and maybe this other story, Eric's 3 years older than me and I'm 3 years older than Chad, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm the middle kid, I guess you could say. Because, look, I say we grew up all like brothers. in a separate way, because I mean, half the time I'm with Eric as a brother, and my mom and dad had split up and all that. Half the time I'm with Chad, living with him as a brother. So I say cousins, they're more like my brothers, but cousins.
I guess I'll start.
Yeah, go ahead.
We can do, okay, then one of the major stories with me and Chris, the one that gets told the most, is the moving truck story.
Oh, God, yes. I think we pretty much had this one on point, because we told it so many times, we've merged memories.
And this story was very traumatic for both of us. So what happened, Chris, was at East Carolina, and he decided he didn't want to go anymore or whatever. What, I don't remember. I don't remember that part. I just remember he was coming back home.
Well, no, we had been talking. This is when we planned to go to the beach.
Right, right.
So we had started, okay, like we were going to go start this business and draw caricatures and take over the world.
That was
the plan.
So the story was, Chris wasn't old enough to drive a moving truck. I was 21. Right. You were like 19.
I had to be 19 if you were 21. Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, long story short, I was the only one that was able to get the truck.
Right.
So we went up there. We loaded all his shit up, and we were heading back from ECU, which I know you guys who aren't from around here, that's about a 4-hour drive.
4 or 5 hours.
4-hour
east.
Drive. Yep. On highway.
Was the second time I was in school, so I was in an apartment. Right. That's why I didn't have a load of shit in the dorm. This was not my first
time. He did
time
not there. Have a lot of stuff, but the problem was is that all the trucks were out, so the only one they had was like one of the biggest ones.
The biggest one, yeah. Like a 30-footer.
And
24, whatever.
Of course, I was 21 years old. I was an inexperienced driver. So get to the meat of the story. We're on our way back, and it's heavy traffic. We're on the high. I remember, I don't know if we were out of Greenville yet. I think we were still, this was before we got on the major part, but I remember we were on like a two-lane, not two-lane, but, you know, it's a highway.
Yes.
We're on one side, and there's on the other side, and I remember there being, like, businesses and stuff around. I don't know if we were out, I'm a little vague on.
Now, you just tell yours, and I'll tell mine, because I can already see there's differences a little bit.
Okay. But what happened was I was following too close behind him. I was probably, I don't know how distance-wise, but it was too damn close.
You know what.
We were doing.
You know, everybody knows what too damn close means.
We were too damn close. I could see what he was playing on the radio.
Through the windshield.
So
House of Pain, jump around.
That's probably.
Yep.
Probably.
Yep, so. Yeah. And Chris was in his little. And this was your car with the low profile wheels, wasn't it?
No. This was the Prelude. This was the first car
okay,
ever.
See, I don't remember the car.
Yeah. This is still the first car.
This was the Prelude. So anyway, I was too close, and out of nowhere, this damn Dalmatian dog comes running out in the road. Chris slams on brakes. The dog kind of does he doesn't hit the dog. The dog just kind of slides across his hood off his bumper and limps off. I don't remember any of that. He does, because he saw it up close.
Well, don't tell that then.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're doing good, but just remember.
I remember. I felt like I was a Jedi at that point. Because I guess a shot of adrenaline hit. All I saw was Chris's back car. I probably could have reached out. If I could have reached out through the windshield, I probably could have touched his car. That's how close we was. And I remember, it's like, I'm going to fucking kill him. We're getting ready to die. We're all getting ready to die. And all I remember is jerking the wheel. Because it was either Chris or the median, because it was cars in the other lane. I jerked the wheel, probably shit my pants. And I remember, you know, those seats are kind of, I was in the grass, so I was bouncing up and down. I was trying to slow down and stop. So I'm looking over there at Chris, and he's staring back at me, and our eyes are like big as saucers.
Right.
I'll tell you in a minute what I look like, but he had that look of sheer terror on his face. He was white as a ghost. I remember that. And we're just kind of looking at each other like, I can't believe we're fucking alive. Or I can't believe we're alive. And got the truck stopped and got out. You know, first thing I thought was, oh, crap. All his stuff in the back's in a million pieces. His mirrors were broke.
Everything slammed forward.
But everything, but we did, got out there, checked it out. Everything was fine.
It's a good packing job.
That's right. That's right. I learned early.
You know, like I said, after we changed our underwear and everything, we all got back in the car and continued home. And then that's been a story that we've told over and over because it was so vivid and it was so... It's funny and it's scary and it was traumatic all at the same time.
And when we tell the story in person, we do these animations.
Yeah.
But you can't see us doing right now. Because the way he was looking, driving this big ass wide wheel like a truck, you know, this is a big ass truck.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that's your version.
Yeah.
All right. So the basics are there. So same thing, coming home from college. He could only drive the truck, which is why he was following me. He agreed to come up there with the truck, U-Haul, and all that good stuff. We were on a four-lane highway. We were out in the country by this. There was no businesses. We had passed all that. So it's just trees and median. So there was not – you mentioned – I thought this was interesting. You said heavy traffic. There was no traffic, but like three or four cars in front of me. Just one little line of cars, not heavy. Because it was an open highway.
Maybe I was trying to justify me following so close.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But there was, I just remember, it was a line of cars. I was in the right lane. I don't know when was, I guess we were going to pass them. Maybe we got around them or something. I don't remember exactly that. But there was a Dalmatian out of nowhere on a highway, which is really odd. This is not a place where there's a lot of houses. This is a highway in the country coming from Greenville. And if you've ever been that way, it's just open fields and trees. And a lot of deer up there get smashed by cars because there's so many.
Yeah, that's what you're expected to jump out.
Yes, like, not a Dalmatian. So I remember seeing this dog, and I saw it in time to slam on brakes and slow down, and I did tap the dog. I did not hurt the dog. I didn't kill it or anything like that. I didn't run over it. Tapped it with my bumper. I think I remember looking down and seeing that I'd got down to about 25 miles per hour to 30, somewhere in that range. I remember... For some reason, that detail, if that's even right, because I question everything now. So I bumped the dog. He ran off. He was running. He wasn't limping, all that stuff, so he was fine. But I'm thinking in the back of my mind, shit, Eric's behind me in this giant fucking truck that weighs I don't know how much now with all this shit in it. I look in the mirror, and I see your eyes with these wide eyes, like he said, like saucers, but I always do the thing. He jerks the thing left because I like brace. I'm doing this now physically. You can't see me. I'm like bracing for impact, ready to get slammed into the steering wheel or whatever. And nothing comes. I don't feel anything. And I'm still going because after the dog bounced up, my thing is like, I got to take off. I got to keep going so he doesn't hit me as hard. Right? Because I was going to get hit. I just knew it, you know. And I look over to the left, and he's in the median in the grass looking at me with this. That's when I do this trucker thing with the big giant wheel, him bouncing up and down because he's bouncing.
Right.
Still trying to slow down in the grass now. So this giant truck's like hopping, and he's bouncing in the seat. You can see that. You can almost hear the seat squeaking, you know. And then so I don't remember the details after that other than I guess we did pull over, and I do vaguely remember checking, like opening the door. And then continuing on home, nothing was broken, like you said. But I think so. That's basically it. I think we got it pretty close, except you had a couple things with the traffic and with the buildings.
And I think what I was doing there is I was trying to justify, like I said, number one, me following so close.
And
explain the dog, because that dog made no sense.
No.
So that's the
like old, a glitch in the matrix.
It was, and that's the weird part. It was a Dalmatian, and it's like an odd, it's not like it was some
not even a common breed.
Yeah, just not a mutt. Some. It was a Dalmatian out in the middle of a highway. And the only reason I know that my version of the highway part's true is because I know Greenville.
Right.
So we had got out of any town stuff. We were in
I think I'm so traumatized by the memory. I just didn't remember. Yeah.
But so yeah, it's a wide open 4-lane highway. I don't remember if it was 95 or whichever one from out there, but that's the only difference that I think we had was that and the traffic. But pretty much that was it. And the dog, I don't know where you got it hitting and rolling over the hood and all that. Maybe
I think you told me that. So, and there again, I interjected it as part of the memory.
Right.
Maybe, I guess. Yeah, because it never rolled
because,
over.
Because the first thing I said is, oh, my God, Chris, was that dog okay? And you're like, nah, man, he just bounced off. Or he didn't even, but you said he rolled off or something like that.
Maybe, yeah. But I do remember the dog, you know, just, I mean, I'm sure it hurt, but it didn't break anything. He was,
he might have got bruised a little bit.
Maybe. He ran off fine. I do remember that specifically, looking over there before while I was waiting to die.
I think the words you said was he slid off the car. He slid. I thought you said he slid across the hood.
I just remember like a bump, you know, but anyway. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Now, when Eric started telling the story, he said, I think you were driving your car with the low profile tires. And you quickly said, no, I was driving the Honda Civic. Is that what you said?
Prelude.
He had Prelude, then he had the Saturn later.
What
right.
Degree of certainty are you that it was the Prelude?
100%.
And why? And as far as this memory goes, is it because you remember the time? Or in this memory, are you remember what the dash looks like and the time?
Because the first time I went to school, I did not take my car. The second time, I drove.
And you drove.
And I had the Prelude until I got the Saturn, which came at the beach.
Right.
Because Derek bottomed it out down there.
That's the one Derek bottomed out. Okay.
So that was the next car.
I was curious as to how.
So I knew by the timeline that it was
the
Prelude.
You were time stamping that.
And you got the Saturn because your mom originally bought it for her and she didn't like it.
She didn't like it and said, you want to take over payments on this car? I'm getting a Jeep.
Yep.
And you took it and put low profile tires on it?
Yes. And like an idiot. Yes.
That's the first car you had when I met you. Was that Saturn?
The gold Saturn.
The champagne Saturn.
And it was one of the first cars around here with those low profile mm-hmm. tires on.
And I just thought it was neat because I wasn't looking for a car. It was just my Prelude was so old because I bought it at 16 with 100,000, well, no, 15, with 100,000 miles on it. And then she got that and said, here, just take care of the payments. I'm going to go get a Jeep. And it had the automatic seat belts. First car I'd ever seen with that.
The Saturn.
Oh, that Saturn. Cool. That Saturn was a nice car.
It was
leather and heated seats and all that shit. Because she, you know, that's when she had moved up in the world and got on Philip Morris, and you know, we moved from that shithole to that pretty nice little neighborhood over. You know, near
meanwhile,
here.
All the rest of us are driving pieces of shit. Chevy Chevettes that you have to. Chris is driving a brand new car with leather seats. Let's just make a note of that.
Chris didn't buy it.
Let's make a note of that too. I'm just being funny.
Okay. But yeah, there are some funny Chevette stories.
Yeah.
So now, Eric, what was in the back of the truck? Did you help load it?
Yes.
Okay, what was it?
I remember a bed frame. I remember a mattress. I remember a bedroom suit. That's why I said glass. Because I do remember a mirror.
Mirror, okay.
At least some sort of, or a glass table, one or the other.
It'd probably been a mirror
but
on the
But I don't
back
remember,
of a...
but I do remember it. And when, the other thing was, is it was not nearly, it wasn't even half full.
That was a big-ass truck.
He did not have much stuff. He had literally like a two-bedroom apartment.
Yes.
He literally could have got about all this stuff in the back of a pickup, probably.
And when you started telling your story, or ending your story, you said... You really didn't remember pulling over on the median.
No. I remember, opening the back.
Right.
But I don't remember pulling over the left side, right side. Did he get back on the road and we go to
left side, right side? Do you remember?
Oh, the median. See, the median was in the middle of the road. So when I jerked the wheel to the left.
Yeah, that's where he was driving, right.
And then he pulled over in front of me and got out and we checked the truck.
Okay, so right I went there. Over to the left then.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
But
did you have a passenger with you, Eric?
No, I was alone.
Did you have a passenger?
No,
it was just us, and it was just like, hey, come up here. I can't drive a U-Haul. I'm not old enough yet. Apparently,
and we delivered his stuff back to the house on Dundee.
Yes. Yep.
And we told the first person that heard that story was Susan, your mom, and Doug.
Yep.
So you rented the U-Haul here and took it there, so there wouldn't be three vehicles.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. Rented it, drove it up there. I think I spent the night and we drove back the next morning.
Yep. That was it.
But here's the thing. I don't remember anything about your apartment. I don't remember staying there. I don't remember anything.
I remember the apartment because the only reason I remember apartment because I was watching OJ then, the trial.
Ah, that is a good time reference.
Yeah, because when you were asking him what was in the back of the truck, the only other thing I would add was like a small shitty entertainment center. I mean,
right.
Horrible. Like, you know, particle
board. But you remember it because you remember it set up in your apartment and watching OJ's trial.
All day. That was all that, because I'd have did that more than school.
The only other detail I remember about that trip was us going to Pizza Hut, because you worked at Pizza Hut up there.
Yes.
You worked for, what's his name?
Bernie, East Carolina Pizza Huts.
Yep.
I walked in there and got a job by just showing them how to make a Supreme right without rings.
Without rings.
Oh, yeah. That's a funny other story, too, for some other time. But, yeah, anyway, as far as those people and how Pizza Huts work there compared to Carolina Pizza Huts.
Yeah, anyway.
We
get popped in the back of the head with a spoon if we put too much cheese on the pizza.
That's the old days.
Back before, whatever.
But, yeah, now it makes you question, man. I question everything. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't, like I said, don't, that story, I know the highway part's right only because I know Greenville. Mm-hmm. I know the car's right only because of the time. The other little things, you know, who knows?
I got one more story I want to tell. This is a James story. I want to see if James remembers.
Oh, yeah.
So we're working at Pizza Hut, and there was a girl, and this is one of my most vivid memories. A lot of my memories with James are kind of muddled. James remembers them better than I do. But this one memory in particular, this is when I feel like James and I's friendship was really solidified.
Okay, so, I have my memory of this.
So, I think you know where I'm going with this.
Maybe.
So, we're working at Pizza Hut, and there was this girl who was known to, let's just say she was popular.
Okay.
And I hadn't really had many girlfriends at that time, and she...
popular.
she kissed me one night, and of course, I was immediately in love, head over heels. And she ended up sleeping with our other cousin. Can I say that?
Sure, yeah.
So anyway, it broke my heart in two, man.
I remember.
And I remember I got in James' car. Or I don't know if I was riding with you on a run or whatever. I don't remember the details.
Okay.
But I remember sitting there, man, and I was so heartbroken. I was like, you know, just like, man, I don't know what we'll do. And James pulls out this song. Here we go with the song.
Here we go.
James puts on this song.
Uh-huh.
It's called Keep Smiling.
Yep.
And I want to say KC and the Sunshine Band.
No, it was Keep On Smiling by, oh, shit. Is it Wet Willie? No.
Wet Willie.
Hell,
I swear to God.
I remembered the song.
But James played.
Keep On Smiling.
We were right. James played. It talks about, you know, your woman's going crazy. You just got to keep on smiling. So
yep.
To this day, anytime life gets hard, or rough, or I'm going through something, I think about that moment. I think about that song. Sometimes I'll even play it.
Well, that makes me feel good. Because I surely remember that. You know, because the lyrics are like, you know, so you say you got the blues, you got holes in both of your shoes.
Yeah. Yep.
Feeling alone and confused. You got to keep on smiling.
But that's what I'm
saying. It.
Yeah.
I'm just trying so hard to cheer him up because I do remember that very well. You know, because he really liked her, and then you fell asleep, right? You were in the same room.
I had fell asleep, and I woke up next morning. My cousin's got a big ass grin on his face, like, man, I ain't gonna go into the details,
right,
but right. I had
something happened last night,
and I'm like, dude, I was dating her. He's like, oh.
Yeah, he didn't know. Yeah, let's be fair. He didn't know.
He didn't know. No, he didn't know.
She was one of those
girls. She was one of those popular girls.
Popular girl.
Yep.
Right.
And what was so bad is he ended up dating her for about 6 months, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I had started at Pizza Hut December 8th of 1994 is when I started. And
or was it?
And then Christmas comes around, and Eric comes up there to draw caricatures at our little Christmas party. And I had remembered him from, you know, just being another driver there. And then next thing you know, he's not having to deliver that day. He's got his little thing set up there in Pizza Hut drawing caricatures for everybody. And he drew me with my white van and everything. And,
the white van.
Yeah. And so I was fascinated by it. Eric will tell you that. Like, as soon as I found out he was a caricature artist, I mean, I was just obsessed with it, and having him draw me all the time, and he, because I never was able to pay anybody to have my caricature drawn.
Right.
And for him to be 19, 20 years old.
So I love doing it.
Yeah. So we became friends. And I remember that very well. And I also remember going to your house and spending the night there. And your house then is right beside my house now.
Right.
And we were down here in the basement, and you were the first person I knew to have internet. You had one of those modems where you took the phone receiver and set it on the cradle and got online that way. And we were, and y'all tell me if this memory's wrong. We were there, and here comes Chris. Comes busting in with a laptop case and opens it up and pulls out the first laptop I had ever seen at that time. And when he opens it up, the keyboard butterflies out.
It was actually called the Butterfly.
It was called the Butterfly.
It was an IBM Butterfly.
It was such a freaking badass computer, and he knew how to work that thing. He got on Eric's modem, this old jacked up modem.
And ordered a pizza.
And logged in to the Pizza Hut servers.
Yes, he did.
And put an order in.
Oh, shit.
For us. I think there's a statute of limitations on this.
By the way, this was before internet ordering. Chris invented it.
That's right.
This was dial-up.
Before internet ordering. You could only call in and order then. But Chris backdoored it, went into the server, and had the printer in the kitchen print off a ticket.
Yep.
For us to have a pizza delivered.
Nobody believed it worked until they showed up.
Yep.
And here is the most hilarious part to me, and you tell me if my memory's wrong on this. It got to a point where he needed a password, and we knew the manager very well. So we're like, what would he use for a password? He likes the Colts. So Chris kept trying Colts. No, that was too many characters. So he did Colts with no L, COTS. And he got in.
Yep.
Well, later, we thought it was Colts with no L. Later, we found out it just happened to be like Central Operating Termination System or something like that. But we guessed that by using the Colts.
By pure accident.
I remember, I think I knew that. I remember being similar to the Colts and why I first thought it was the Colts. But I do remember COTS being the system.
Well, see, I remember you shoulder surfing and watching them log in.
No, I had access. Oh, okay. I had access because I was manager at that time or something. But it was that, I don't remember, was that Oak Avenue days? Or I know I did it at Church Street.
That was Oak Avenue.
Okay, so I just remember that when I was learning to close and stuff with Phil, it wasn't like it was secret.
Yeah,
but he just didn't change. It was the default thing.
And then later, I became assistant manager, and I learned about the COTS, and I was like, you know, Phil, is this Colts with no L or whatever?
Right.
Or either I told him the story somehow. I told Phil about it. That was hilarious. But I do remember you said, "Okay, guys," it went through. And we waited and we waited, and sure as hell, here came the pizza. And, dude, I told that story for so long after that. I was like, you guys aren't going to believe this. This guy comes over, because I didn't know you that well then.
Right.
Because you had moved on. You were working somewhere else, but you would come to Pizza Hut enough to know that I knew who you were.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't work with you at that time.
I had went off to college and then came back when we just told that story. Yeah. And then I don't know if I went back. I went back to Pizza Hut for a while because I remember being shift leader. But I don't know if I'd moved on to Siegling.
While I was going to the fair,
right?
Or something.
Yeah, so, it was a lot of near misses with James in those early Pizza Hut days or later
and
Pizza
then
Hut
we
days.
Really, Chris and I, we linked up at another Pizza Hut store in another town, and that's where we actually got to know each other.
Right.
We would rehash these little stories like this, and then we ended up becoming friends. But that was crazy. I just told people this guy busted in. He pulled out a briefcase out of the briefcase. It's just like something from a movie, dude. He opens it up and freaking keyboard pops out. Next thing you know, he's backdooring Pizza Hut's computer system and ordering a pizza. And I never thought about it. Like Eric said, he did online ordering before online ordering was a thing.
Yeah.
That was so freaking cool.
Yeah. The first time I did it was, at Central Avenue, and we lived there and on the desktop. Before I think, or I don't know. It might have been had to be earlier than that, because that was the computer I bought at the beach when Chris got in trouble with credit cards.
All right. And y'all.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you another little. Y'all gonna love this one. That was about the same time. This was back when they still had pay phones. And we were kind of into this hacking phase.
Oh, I went through
and
it.
And you
bad.
Know where I'm getting ready to go with this.
I know where you're going. You're going to the Red Box, aren't you?
We went to Radio Shack because, you know, this was part of the reason, you know, the internet wasn't all that great back then. But you could go online.
Oh,
it was
fantastic if you knew what you were doing.
You could download. You could actually download plans and build. They had a, I forget, it was a Red Box or
Red Box.
Red Box. And you could hold this thing up to, you had to have the right crystal.
Yeah, a 2600 megahertz crystal. There is an actual magazine. I still have a stack of them in my closet called 2600, by the way.
So basically what it did is when you went to use a payphone, you'd hold that up to the thing and push the button, and it would make the tone to make the phone think it had a quarter put in it.
Exactly. So what it was is an old phone. In the days of payphones, instead of having or pagers and payphones, you could have a phone dialer. And that's all it was a phone dial. You could store numbers in it, but it wasn't a phone. You would hold it up to the receiver, and it would dial a number.
Gotcha.
Once you put the quarter in. But when you change the crystal out to a 2600 megahertz crystal, the star key, four star keys became one quarter tone.
LBD.
So it's called a red box. So you would hold that up to the phone, and you would hit the star key four times, and the phone says, oh, a quarter got dropped in.
Yep.
And you could make a call. So that was a red box.
If you made a long-distance call, and at some point the operator would come in and say, please deposit.
Yes. Hold the little thing up there.
You could just hold that up there and do it again.
Hold it up there, hit it four times, another quarter drops.
That is really cool, man.
That's how the phone system worked. It was all tones. It was no clicky things in there, mechanical things.
That was before digital. That was when everything was still analog.
Yep.
And there was also another one. I don't know if we ever got the other one to work, but there was another one you could make that could change lights.
Silver box.
You could actually point it at because the sensor that changes the street lights, if you knew the frequency, you could point it at that and you could make the light change.
Well, no, it was for emergency vehicles to change stoplights.
Yep.
Right.
It's called a silver box. Yep.
I don't think we ever built
one.
No,
we didn't want to get in trouble.
No,
and I didn't want to fuck with that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, things were a little, I ain't going to say they were the good old days, you know, when you couldn't get in trouble for stuff, but you could still get in trouble.
Yes, you could still get in trouble.
So,
yes.
Yeah, we figured if we ever got in trouble for, you know, quarters.
But no, I remember the first time at East Carolina getting on, like you said, one of those old 2400 baud modems and putting the phone on receiver on the modem and getting in, and you're just, it's just a blank screen in Unix. You know, you got to know Unix or whatever. For it's like DOS for people who remember DOS. That's all you had. There was no World Wide Web. It was all bulletin boards and DOS prompts, but it was fascinating to me. I fell in love with it.
And you would get on, these bulletin boards, and people would send GIFs to each other.
Yeah, GIFs or GIFs. I know people say GIF now.
GIF or GIF, and you had to sit there for 30 minutes and wait for this picture to download. It would be a horrible 8-bit rendering.
Yeah, you would trade GIFs.
To see a naked girl.
You printed off a picture that took us at least 15 minutes to download of Anna Nicole Smith. And then you printed it, and I took it to my house and was like, this came off of a computer. Right. I watched it come on the screen, and then he printed it off of
Control-P.
And then but that same night we were there, while we were eating that pizza, y'all introduced me to Leisure Suit Larry.
Oh God, yeah.
Yes,
man.
I remember that. Yeah.
And then later, Eric went to bed and he showed me how to put in this disc into the CD-ROM tray and watch Ron Jeremy, Ron Jeremy video. I still remember that so well, man.
And
I was like, I am watching porn on a computer, you know, off of a disc. It's not a VHS tape.
Right.
It was just so crazy.
This
man.
Circular laser thing. What does that mean? But what's funny about that story is because we were talking about this when you moved into your place and I came over there that night. I don't remember that house. That was the time when I was going to school I don't remember that being there.
But he had that whole basement down there. It was really cool. And you came down there.
And I don't remember it at all. I don't remember that. I remember you being there, but not me going there is what I'm saying.
That is so crazy.
That was after 907 Klondale. That was after we lived with my grandmother. That was a renting house.
Right.
And then were renting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was so cool because I had came back from Cedar Point and they had basically gave me the basement to stay in.
Yeah.
And I just don't remember.
I remember, like you said, the house, I remember you being there, but I don't remember going in there at all. I don't remember meeting you there.
Yeah, me and you stood in the yard at my new place, and we were looking at that house, and I was like, yeah, right down there. And you said, I don't remember that.
I really don't. The first time I remember you, James, was Pizza Hut parking lot in the white van, noticing you.
Oh, yeah, so you really don't remember hacking that pizza and all that stuff in the basement?
That's what I'm saying. Chris has holes in his memory.
I know.
That was a big deal.
I know we had the laptop. I know we did the hacking and all that because I did it a lot, and I like to show it off.
Right.
But I do not remember. Remember being in that house with you and him and doing it there. You know, I don't at all.
I'll be damned.
It's crazy. It's what I'm saying. And I question my whole fucking reality now.
Right. That is really weird because that was a big deal. We had a good time that night and you know, because you didn't talk much when you would come up to Pizza Hut except to like Phil and people you knew and stuff. So that was the first time that we'd ever really interacted much. And I was like, this guy's a legend, you know, and that was really, really cool. And also I want to touch on Eric's caricature drawing of me. He left again and went somewhere because Eric would go to different theme parks and places and do his caricatures. He's the only person I've known who from high school had a dream to do something and did it and is still doing it. It's really crazy.
Right.
I mean, other than people who say went to college to get a certain degree on something, you know, and then they got a job in that field and they're still in that field. But he told me next time I came, he came back and he would come back and deliver for a little bit while he was in town and then he'd go back out. But he said, you know, your face is so, I don't know how he would word it. I'll let him say it, but perfect for drawing caricatures. That he would practice, he would put my face in caricatures he sold to people, like as a flower or the sun or something like that. He's like, you're all over the place. Yeah. People don't even know
it. There was, when I lived in Myrtle Beach, there was probably about a couple hundred teen girls that had James Wright smiling down at them in the sunshine.
That's so funny to me, man.
Oh, God, I had so many because he practiced on me when he first started at Carowinds, and I took him to Cedar Point when he started up there.
Oh, that's a good – tell that memory.
That's another story. Driving to Cedar Point and coming back to St. – that was stupid. Anyway, but that was me and Derek's story more than yours coming back. But, yeah, I got practiced on all the time, so there's probably a billion –
I still got some old sketchbooks. I got pictures of it.
Yeah, you got one on the wall that was really cool. Was the old, when I was still looking young and had earrings. Yeah, the color.
I don't know where it might be gone now, but
it was on your wall before you moved.
Yeah. There is a story I would love to tell about Eric and Pizza Hut. When you know we delivered pizza, but say you know if all the phone people were on the phone or it was extra busy, you know delivery drivers were expected to answer orders on the phone.
Right.
And Eric, he was taking an order one night. And a coworker had gotten on a phone on the other side of the wall and was breathing heavily into the phone while Eric was taking the order.
And this guy's, he's still to this day, he's notoriously one of those people who just likes to mess with people.
But Eric didn't know it was him at the time.
Yes, exactly.
So so Eric's taking the order, hilarious. and there's constantly this
Darth Vader.
And the person on the other end is going, son, is there something wrong with you? And Eric's like, no, ma'am, I'm sorry. There's somebody goofing on me or trying to make a joke or something. I'm really sorry about that. And he would turn and he would look at the guy beside him and go, stop it, stop it. And the guy was listening in too, and he was cracking up. So when Eric's looking at him saying, stop it, and seeing him on the phone laughing, he thinks it's this guy. So Eric politely gets off the phone with the lady. Okay, it'll be there in 35 or 45 minutes. Thank you very much. He hangs up the receiver and turns and leaps on this guy.
he pounced on him.
He pounced. He has him down under the counter, beating the crap out of this guy, only to find out that he was merely an innocent bystander
listening in
to it and laughing. And the culprit who actually did it got off easy. He ended up having to break up the fight. But I will always, always remember that, because that poor guy got the hell beat out of him for nothing more than listening in.
Didn't know what was coming. Didn't have any idea what just happened.
He didn't know that Eric hulked out.
Hulked out and then ran straight into the wall.
Yep. And then to calm down, he was so furious, he just ran headlong into the wall, and then he got up and he was fine. But that was a funny, funny story.
Yeah,
I hope I told that right.
It wasn't funny at the time.
No,
it was not.
And that's what I was going to say. It's like I say, we joke about it, but I used to have a really, and it's still like that to a certain degree. But I have, honestly, as I've gotten older, I've gotten to where now it's more or less, I'm better at picking my battles, I guess you could say.
Right.
You know, because in retrospect, that wasn't worth beating the hell out of nobody for. But
once you learn what you're capable of,
right,
then you learn to tone it down.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I was 18, 19 years old.
Boundaries.
At the
time. Yeah.
But that memory. I remember where I was at. I remember it happening. I remember why I had such a short fuse. There was a lot going on in my life at the time other than Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, the proverbial.
I got you.
Right.
So that, I think that was at the time we had lost our house. We were living with my grandmother, because that's a whole nother story. But I had a lot of crap going on, and yeah. I was stressed out. And then this guy that we worked with, and I'll tell him to his face right now.
Yeah,
that guy's still an asshole. He likes to egg people on and then sit back and laugh at him.
Yes, he does. He does.
But he's proud of it.
And
he's
super proud. But he owns it. He owns it.
He does own
lost.
It.
He's lost a lot of friends. His Facebook friends drop like flies on the daily because he's always instigating something
right.
on there. So, he has not matured
right.
like you have said, you know, you have, you
right.
know.
So,
but we were all young and dumb.
Not
and,
one of my proudest moments, you know.
I don't know. That was kind of a legendary story, Eric.
I mean, the stories become
now,
legends.
I'm glad to know that I was capable of defending myself, I guess you could say, but I'm
or attacking somebody.
But I'm not proud that an innocent bystander got hurt in that.
Well, I think you did say, you know, stop it or I'm gonna do something. So they didn't stop it, and when you hung up, you did something.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just you were just following.
Lesson
through.
Learned. Now that guy knows, hey, if I'm ever involved in a prank, I better get out of harm's way.
Right.
But
oh God!
I know that kind of got sidetracked. I just wanted to see if our memories were the same on that.
That was all the same for me.
A lot of stuff over the years that got me in trouble, or they usually involve my temper.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. I heard about you in high school.
Well, we could do a whole entire separate podcast on Eric's stories, but
and I'll be honest with you.
I mean, some like movie shit, you know,
like
a scene out
of
a movie.
And, you know, and not to get all touchy-feely on y'all, but honestly, over the years, these two guys here in my life have been pivotal at sometimes keeping me out of jail.
Probably so.
And I appreciate them.
Well, we appreciate you, man. You've always been down there, been there when I've been down and out myself. And you know, it goes both ways. I really appreciate it.
And like Chris said, me, him, and Chad grew up as brothers, so it was...
Yeah, it was crazy, and for those listening, you know, there was a lot of like I'd be out of the picture when Eric and James were getting to know each other and meeting and all that stuff, and then Eric would be gone, and me and James finally started chatting more, and so there was a lot of people moving in different directions and whatever.
And your other cousin,
yes,
you know,
Chad,
when y'all were both out of the picture, I became close with him.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Like I still have this amazing Bob Marley, amazing Jimi Hendrix picture he gave me. He gave me a choice between Bob Marley or Jimi Hendrix. I chose Jimi Hendrix.
The pen drawing.
The pen where he drew the light instead of the dark.
Yep.
I remember that.
And I still have that thing. And me and Chad became really close, too, in one of those moments where people were going their separate ways. Because I also would step out, and I would go work the fair, and then I would come back.
Right.
So the Pizza Hut's always been kind of like this... launching pad, parachute, job that everybody had.
Yes, right. Yep.
And so we all met there and just became good friends over the years. It's been really cool. We've watched each other, you know, raise kids and everything. We from going from kids to raising kids.
That's crazy. That's right. What I was just going to say. Thinking back to when we were – I started working there at 15, I guess it was.
Pizza Hut?
At Pizza Hut, 16, I don't know exactly.
I don't think it was 15.
Because I started at Michael's Car Wash when I was 14.
Oh, yeah.
Lasted a day.
The greatest job Chris ever had.
Lasted a day.
Only, but you can't leave out the other job.
Which one?
The one you and I did together.
Oh, the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, working for the city we worked for a week or so before he started.
We might have made it a week.
That was, but that was for a legit reason. That was some bullshit.
We went to get jobs. They still have the trucks that go around and suck leaves up, and they had this high-powered vacuum. And you had a hose that you had to shove down into these ditches. And the exhaust fumes from the diesel engine that was running this thing was right above your head.
Yes.
Blowing directly down onto you. So you had leaf particles and exhaust.
Dead animals, dust, everything.
All getting in your ears and up your nose and everything. So and what was so bad about that, and you can collaborate this memory. I remember showing up the first day for work, and this is how I knew we'd done screwed up. We showed up for the first day of work. We walk in. And first thing, I don't know if it was the foreman or another guy, he says, "What did y'all do to get here? Are y'all on probation?"
Yes, because
that was the job that anybody that was on probation or community service,
right?
They got sent to do that job because it was the worst job.
Yes.
And everybody kept saying, you know, you guys get through leaf season.
And
the rest of you get to ride around in a truck and pick up a dead animal once in a while.
Right. And no, Derek's dad helped us out because he worked there full time. But yeah, somebody else did ask us that. Yes, yes. What did y'all do to get in here? What the hell do you mean? What did I do? We didn't know that probation people or community service people had to go through
there. Right, so we literally lasted about 4 days.
But it wasn't
long enough to get a paycheck.
It wasn't because of the work. It wasn't because of the hard work. It was because the last day. We got back in the dump truck that pulled this damn thing, and my nose started bleeding.
Yep.
After inhaling fumes down a whole road, and done.
And it literally, like, you went home that night and got in the shower. You're nasty. I mean, nasty from head to toe.
Yeah, I'm
sure.
And
you're sitting there picking out like pieces of leaf out of your ears and black crap. It was horrible.
It was disgusting. Yeah, so that was.
So
that didn't last
long. We have a similar memory with that, James.
I see that.
Traumatic.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I cannot imagine sucking up a dead animal carcass.
I'll be honest with you. Somewhere between that job and the week that I spent working in Cannon Mills is what made. That's what fueled my fire to say, you know what, I'm going to try to make a go of this art thing.
And that's the thing.
Cannon Mills would do that.
That's the thing. Me and you had talked about that when we were younger, Eric, because I was always had the mindset and always got shouted down for it of I want to do my own thing, work for myself, not go the typical college route. And I did that to a degree. I did go to school and then come back. But when I found IT, I fell in love with it. You know, so it was a different thing. But my original idea, which is what I'm doing now, is it was always I'm working for me.
Well, you love writing. You always love writing.
Well, yeah, no, I have a lot of different interests, but regardless of what it is, working for me. So I've had that mindset forever. I was always the dreamer. Mm-hmm. And speaking of writing at Central Avenue, I started writing a book. It's one of the first times I started.
The Boba Fett book, right?
No. It was called Dream Warrior. It was about that shit.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote like a chapter and never finished it, of course, like anything else.
Well, I remember the Boba Fett book.
The point you were actually making there, I think it rang home for everybody in our generation. Because if you grew up here and you did not go to college or the military, you almost were expected to go work in one of the mills.
In the mills,
here.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So, but older generation would kind of dog you out, make you seem soft or lazy if you didn't want to do that. If you had dreams bigger than the mill,
yes, right. Absolutely, yeah. They would. And I remember speaking of Pizza Hut. I remember it's, and me and Phil still joke about it because our manager. At the time.
One of the coolest managers we've ever had. Honestly.
Absolutely. And still talk to Phil to this day. But I remember telling Phil when I was 16, I said, "Phil, by the time I'm 21 or 25 or whatever," I said, "I'm going to be a millionaire." And he always laugh at me. But the point was, And no, I didn't make it. But the point was, I tried.
Coming soon.
Yeah, it was big plans, man. Big plans.
I need all me and y'all send Chris a dollar.
No, but the point was that I was already in that mindset of I'm not going to be here forever working at pizza like you feel.
Right.
Which is that wasn't meant to be
derogatory because Phil loves his job. He loves what
he does. It wasn't saying there's something wrong with that because he's regional manager, makes a lot of money, blah, 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 and that's fine. But it was my thing not to do the regular climb a corporate ladder type bullshit, you know. So anyway. That's just always been my mindset, too. And I've always respected how Eric for sticking with it because it's not easy.
Nope.
I know from several businesses, we did one together at the beach. That was a different story because I had panic attacks going on and stuff like that. But
we also didn't become the millionaire. We thought we were going to hire all these people, and you can't find good help.
No, you can't. It was that and the dojo and now YouTube for the past 4 years and all that. So, I mean, it's not easy to stick with what you want to do and keep going for it. You get wore down, man, and you just want to like, okay, this would be so much easier if I just go get a job. Right. I wouldn't have the pressure. Right. But
sometimes out of necessity, you have to postpone your dreams.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, I don't know how we got on that.
Well, I was also I need to add, I don't know if Chris has ever told any of y'all this or not, but in high school, me and Chris and Chad were all three in art together. Chris can draw. Chad can draw.
Yes, yeah.
His talent is, he's more of a detail artist than I am. I've always been, it's funny how I got into caricatures, and I know this is probably going off on a tangent, whatever. The reason I got into caricatures, and Chris can attest to this, in high school, I sucked at proportions.
Yes.
I would always screw the heads up.
Right.
Since I even on one of my own videos, I talk about, yeah, man, I think I was born to do caricatures. Sometimes I really do.
Right.
Because that's kind of nurtured. That's kind of where it got started at. I used to do them in high school for fun. Got in trouble for it, too. But Chris, he's probably still got some of his artwork. But, yeah, Chris is a really good artist, too.
And y'all all three won awards.
Yeah, all three of us won awards.
Yeah, yeah. Eric won a bunch of gold keys. Me and Chad's still the only two ever to win the portfolio award.
Yep.
Gold key.
I mean, obviously we went with different directions.
And Chad was 3 years behind us too,
right.
He came and won it 3 years after I did.
Yep.
So
and both of y'all are colorblind.
Yeah, as hell.
Yeah. So I just thought it was always amazing that y'all could do anything not being able to see color.
But what's weird about that is it's not like we're all in the same, like Eric and Chad are not kin at all.
Right.
It don't make any sense.
Right. At all.
Because Eric's my cousin on my dad's side and Chad's on my mother's side. Mm-hmm. They're not actually related.
It's
somehow we all got it.
What really, I don't know how we escaped this point for so long.
I don't either.
What really blows my mind about Eric is he was born with no arms. He does all these drawings with his feet.
I know. He's moving this microphone with his damn right foot.
I really should have had another career in adult films, but
oh God. No, I'm just joking.
No.
But honestly, that always fascinated me because I used to always think that the three of you guys were blood related, but no, Chris is the middle. He's the
Chris
blood
is the link. Chris related. Is the link.
I'm the missing link.
Yeah, he's the blood to both of them.
Right.
Chris's dad and my mother, who has passed, were brother and sister, and Chris's mother and Chad's mother are sisters.
Yes, exactly.
So
it's always been cool to me because I never felt like I grew up a single child, you know. Technically I was, but there was a long period of time that me and Chad lived together. My mom and his mom lived together after their divorces and stuff. And then there was a time in high school when Eric lived with me.
Yep. Like I mentioned earlier, we were going through a lot of stuff where we'd lost our house and everything. So I was essentially homeless in high school. That's a whole nother ball of wax too, but I always think of Chris's mother as a mother because she's like, she took me in and says, hey, here's a place to stay. And the only thing she ever asked was we get our asses up every morning, go to school, and, you know, she never really come down on us about anything. She just, like, wanted to see me succeed. So,
is this the way you remember it, or did he kind of barge in?
Probably a little both.
I think I'd been spending the night a lot.
It was more, I think so. I think that's right. It was more of a, you know, he's spending the night a lot, and then it became a formal thing, like, hey, Mom, he needs a place to stay.
Yeah.
And he's hanging out with these assholes.
That's the key. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. he was going down. I could see it, you know.
I was on a bad path.
Yeah. I mean, not something. I'm not saying something horrible.
James Wright. I mean.
Yeah. There you go. No, not something horrible, but you could see some things.
I was cutting school. I was, you know, hanging around the. I don't want to say losers, because there's a lot of people who struggled in high school that have made great things out of themselves, but a lot of the people I did hang around with, about half of them are in prison now, you know, or dead. So, yeah, I was hanging around losers in that aspect. I mean, I can't judge them. I don't know their lives, but.
Well, if I might, I'd like to bring back just a little bit to the topic here, because I did write a couple notes.
Yeah, we got off track there a little bit.
Sorry. That was fun.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Next time Eric is on, people will feel like they know him.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
And so what about when we're talking about memories, what about groups of people who remember the same thing as far as, like, the Mandela effect?
Oh, yeah. That's so weird.
I was thinking,
man,
about that earlier today.
The weird thing about the Mandela effect is most of the ones that are famous,
yeah,
I remember the correct way.
See, I do too.
And I will give you an example. Luke, I am your father. That never happened.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
I know how that happened.
Yeah.
I actually know how that got into the public.
Oh, you know how the Luke, I am your father
happened.
Because
James Earl Jones did that at a press conference, didn't he?
Nope. Tommy Boy.
Oh, when he has the fan.
That movie was so popular. And he says into that fan, Luke, I am your father.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And that movie being so popular and more recent.
Yes. Yep. It changed the
people's
memory. They think the real one said that because Tommy Boy was more recent and more popular. That's my theory, and I really believe
that probably
has a lot to do with it.
That probably does. The Vader said no. I am your father.
Right.
And it became Luke, I am your father. So that's a big one I just saw again the other day, another meme or something. But
right.
The reason I say that is because I'm one of the Tommy Boy people.
Right.
When I found out that he didn't say that, because I've said Luke, I am your father a million times, you know, in a joking, it's like the right time to throw that joke out there.
Right.
I would always say Luke, I am your father. And I know I got it from Tommy Boy because I saw Tommy Boy more times than I saw Star Wars. I just assumed he would have gotten it right in that movie.
Right.
So that's just my guess on that one.
Now, yeah, I don't know.
There's some of the other ones that do feel weird when I see when they talk about Jiffy Peanut Butter never existed. It was always Jif. I do know Jif Peanut Butter, but for some reason, my mind says, yeah, I kind of do remember a Jiffy Peanut Butter as well.
I think that's a combination of another one that was something that ended in a Y.
It could be.
I believe that's
like
what
Skippy.
That is. Skippy. And Jiffy.
I think the two get combined.
Exactly.
See, I think if we would sit here and go down the list, we might could figure out.
I bet you that's what it was, because I remember Skippy and Jif. Just, I don't remember Jiffy.
The other big one is the Shazam movie.
Yeah, that's another big one. It's with Sinbad.
With Sinbad.
Yes, yeah.
Where he played a genie, and he never did. And people are saying they're getting mixed up with Shaq. But
Shaq played him.
I don't see, and he played Kazam, not Shazam.
Right.
But I don't see people getting Shaq and Sinbad mixed up. But maybe they do.
I don't know.
People are age.
The only thing I could think with that one is I have some memories of Sinbad doing a stand up. And him wearing almost like those hammer pants.
Yes, he did.
And maybe that people got that in their brain as he played a genie because he wore those type of pants.
Aladdin style clothing.
Yeah,
Aladdin style clothing.
And he had a vest, I think.
Good point. Another one is like major corporation signs changing or something, changing colors.
Chick-fil-A is a big one.
But, I mean, they do change their logos and refresh things on buildings from time to time.
There's no hyphened Kit Kat, things like that.
Right, right.
And people picture it with a hyphen.
Right, the Bernstein Bears.
Yeah, and see, that was the one, like Chris, I always knew the correct way, the Bernstein Bears, not Bernstein Bears. I always knew it was Bernstein. But that's just me. But the actual one where it gets his name, the Mandela.
Nelson Mandela. Yeah. See, I remember him dying. I remember him dying in prison.
I was going to say, there's parts of me that kind of feel like I remember that. Although I do also remember him going on to be president and stuff.
Right, right.
So I don't know how that happened, but I feel like I remember both.
I was trying to think, because I think I'm mixed on that one too. But I do remember him being president and all that stuff, but I remember hearing that at least.
I do. I feel
maybe somebody falsely reported it.
Maybe
I believe. And maybe see, happened.
You know,
I don't know.
That's pre-internet days and shit like that. You know, a good popular newspaper or something somewhere in the country could have said something and by word of mouth. I don't know how I don't know how that happened, but I kind of remember both ways.
Right.
I know the right way for sure. He did live, you know.
The I was going to say that, but now nowadays with the internet, like you see them all the time. People will post that I seen one the other day that somebody had died, some famous person. And it's something that happened. I think it might have been Sherman Hemsley. Like, he's been dead 10 years.
Those get me sometimes. Yeah,
but sometimes people will share it. And people are sharing it. And like, did y'all not forget that this dude's been dead?
Yes.
And then you go look at the article and you look at the date and it'll be like September 7th, 2004. You know?
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's just probably people that.
But that's just
they saw the article, they didn't know, and they didn't even look at the date.
Exactly. Yep. I was going to say now a lot of those can be explained, but like you say, a lot of this pre-internet stuff,
right.
Some of them are kind of odd.
Yeah, like Coca-Cola's logo changing and stuff like that.
Right. I think, like you said, that could be a whole separate thing, but we could probably sit there and pull out 10 or 15 of the big ones and probably almost explain them.
I think so. This is the first time that somebody that I know, I can remember has said Skippy peanut butter. I could totally see that. Those being popular at the same time when we were young.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Our minds mix them together.
Like these false memories.
Yeah.
Yep.
But see, with the internet, when people do these Mandela Effect videos, what they'll do is they'll make a Jiffy logo. And then your mind starts playing tricks on you. It's like, damn, that looks right. Right.
Exactly.
That goes back to this, what this whole thing's about. Are we reprogramming our memories?
Yeah.
By these people doing this Mandela
thing. Yeah, just the fact that you watch a video or read an article or whatever, and there's a picture and they talk about it, propagates it.
Yep.
In a way.
Yeah, it does.
In your head.
It really does. When they show the logo, like the Chick-fil-A being spelled differently.
Right.
But you know, the rest of the logo looks exactly the same.
Right.
So your mind, it's kind of a weird thing.
You start questioning yourself. Yeah. You start, and that kind of is almost the same thing we're talking about with the whole memory thing. Now I question every memory I ever had. And I don't, maybe it's good that I miss whole blocks of years that I don't remember certain years.
But it's caused people to theorize that maybe we go in and out of different parallel
dimensions.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's a neat
thing. It was the Grays. Yeah. It was the Grays.
James, I'll be quite honest with you. I'm not trying to say that that's, you know, the gospel. But like I was telling Chris earlier, like you were talking about your ghost stories.
Yeah.
One of my theories is that you're both right in a sense that you may remember those. And I'll tell you where I'm going with this is I think that a lot of your ghost story stuff could be either time folding in on itself and seeping through, like say from the 1800s to present.
Yep.
Almost like, you know, the quantum theory with the worm string theory.
Yeah.
Or multiple dimensions that bleed through at certain points.
Yeah,
that's a popular
like the
theory.
Strings touching.
So there you still got you know, believing that you saw this stuff, and then, you know, Chris is more of the analytical. He doesn't believe in the spirits and stuff. I think I kind of think more like Chris does on that.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying, like Curry said, he believes that you believe. I know that's off topic, but I just wanted to get that in there.
Because
I thought that's pretty cool.
If that's true, then that kind of would make sense with what Chris is saying, like older houses being haunted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, yep. Because in another dimension, maybe there is a dude walking from this side of the room to that side of the room in the exact same house, right, on the exact same spot, but in a different dimension.
Mad or whatever, like in your case or your story, yeah, mad stomping, yep, you know, and it's somehow, yeah, bleeding through to you. So you really experienced that, but nobody else.
Right.
Right.
But to bring that back to memories, though, I mean, and also you say you may feel like some of that memory came from the fact that your friend Chris, you know, told you there was a ghost there.
Right.
So how much of that was interjected from your friends?
Well, yeah, but as far as that one goes, you know, and then the next day,
yeah,
they all start telling their own stories.
Right.
So there is something there. And I actually spoke to Chris via text. I shared that video with him and said, mm-hmm, hey, listen to this, you know, see what you think. And he actually said, yes, there is no doubt that there was a ghost,
okay,
in that house. Absolutely no doubt about it. You know, it's a shame that people haven't experienced them, so they,
right,
they try to explain them away, but it absolutely was a ghost in that,
okay,
house. Yeah.
Okay.
And he did say that he don't think it was his dad trying to protect them, though, like my theory was.
Right, right.
He says that he just honestly believes that his dad just never experienced it and,
okay,
does not know why.
That's odd.
For me, about the memory stuff, nothing aggravates me more than to, and I think you've touched on this before, Chris, tell a story that you remember so vividly because it was such an impactful moment in your life,
mm-hmm,
and having an older relative correct you on it.
Right.
It's,
yes,
like, wait a minute now. I know I was young.
Right.
But I really remember this. But then they're just as sure as I am about it. You know, they'll be like, no, I didn't have that red Dodge Challenger at that time.
Right.
I,
right,
had a black Pontiac. Well, I surely remember it being red. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then my dad will be like, well, it did have red interior. Maybe that's what you remember. And I'm like, no, the outside was, you know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
So,
right,
it's weird how you can remember something so vividly and then possibly could be totally wrong about it.
Right. And now we kind of know why, as far as,
right,
you know, some of the scientific stuff we talked about earlier and some of the videos and articles you were watching or reading. It's literally like you're not, to you, it's absolutely red. It's not a lie. It's not like a fabrication or on purpose or whatever.
Yeah.
You legitimately remember the last time you remembered it. And before that, you remember the last time you remembered it. And it morphed into red or whatever. You know what I mean?
Well, do you think that like major things in your life, like say losing your virginity,
right,
you can remember,
we mentioned
every
this earlier, actually,
detail about,
yeah,
that.
I things like that, I mean, I would think so. You, that's a pretty big thing in your life. You never forget the first.
Right.
And I can sit there and tell that story to a T, I believe.
I believe, yeah, I believe
same,
I could,
same,
too.
Same here. I remember how bad I was.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, the whole, the circumstances,
yep,
the rooms, the place,
oh, yeah,
everything, every, yep, detail.
Oh, you could put every piece of furniture in the room in its,
yeah,
place.
Yeah, because, I mean,
yeah, same here, because that was such a big deal.
Yeah.
It is a big, I mean, it is. It's, you're on cloud nine, and you, I can remember everything about it.
And then other things, you know, you would need like some hypnotist to bring some memories out,
yeah,
of you. You know,
I do feel like that maybe some of these, you talk about years and things that we're missing. I think that maybe our brain is almost like it filters out what's not important.
Right.
Like as we get older, as our, you know, because when we're young, our brains we're sponges. But as we get older, our brains get where it's not as good at retaining information. It's almost like, it's like, okay, do we let him forget how to walk, or do we let him forget what color, you know,
the car was
in third grade.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know, it's
yeah.
almost like your brain decides, okay, this is important. We need to hang on to this.
Yeah.
Let's let this go. This is not that important.
Yeah. And that, you know, what's weird about that is that that's you making that decision behind your back.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. That is a trip to think about.
Yeah.
Hey, you might have be able to have a conversation with yourself saying, wait a minute, I didn't want you to get rid of that memory.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I guess, you know, scientifically part of it is when you're, if you're recalling, you're telling a story, your brain is filling in logical things, what seem to be logical for that story too, in a way, right. I guess. Almost like dreams.
Yeah.
You know, dreams, people try to do all this dream therapy and reading dreams and what's the meaning of it, when probably more than likely it's just things you saw throughout the day or very recently, and your brain's trying to put together some logical order to keep you sane. And yeah. so it becomes this crazy story, this vivid whatever. But it may be something to that when you're actually in the process of recalling that neural little network there.
So you're saying our brains do things to protect us.
Yes, absolutely. That's without a doubt.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, like if there's a kid that's being, when they get to pull a kid in that's been molested, a lot of times they'll have to really pull that stuff out of that kid because
they will
shut down. They will not want to talk about it. There's behaviors they'll do.
Right.
Because their brain's trying to protect them from what
they Yeah, defense doing. Mechanism.
Yeah.
It really is. And that's a cool thing about our brain.
Mm.
But one thing I could compare this to is if you remember something wrong long enough, it becomes reality. And like, have you ever sang a song? Because when you sing a song along with the radio, you're remembering the song in your head and yes. listening simultaneously, spitting these lyrics out as your brain is recalling it from wherever it stored it, right?
Right.
Then, all of a sudden, you see or hear somebody else say it, or you see the lyrics written down and realize you've been singing it wrong, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Misheard no. lyrics.
The next yep. time you sing it, you know the real lyrics, but your brain has been programmed so many
right.
times, you
right.
still slip up and say the old
right.
ones
right.
over and over yep. because it's so
And it's usually different. A word, a yeah. single word a single that word. Sounds like another word, and you just got it there wrong, or, you know, just you legitimately heard it wrong or whatever, and it becomes, that's how
yeah.
the song is.
Even when faced with the reality that that's not it.
And you're like, really? No way. I've been seeing this. You yeah. kind of deny it for a minute
like,
or for a while.
The one that sticks out for me is the John Cougar Mellencamp song, Cherry Bomb. I always thought he said, that's when a smoke was a smoke and grooving was grooving. And then I saw a documentary on him and he said, I get tired of people coming up to me and saying, hey, man, I love that song. That's when a smoke was a smoke, man. And he's like, the lyrics are, that's when a sport was a sport.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was one of those guys. I always thought yeah. he said, that's when a smoke was a smoke.
Yeah.
And so even now when that song comes on, my mind wants to fill it in with the wrong information.
Right.
Or pretty much any song by Nirvana.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Which, by the way, on that subject, I was going to say, Weird Al has ruined a lot of songs for me.
Yes.
I cannot listen to Teen Spirit or
Bad
what,
by Michael
bad.
Jackson.
I'm fat, you know. He has ruined in a good way. I mean, I love
yes.
Weird Al. His
yes.
his parodies. I grew up on a lot of those.
Well, like Andrew Dice Clay ruined Nursery Rhymes.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. You can't tell one for real without thinking about it.
No,
you almost slip up and tell your kid the wrong one.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right. Oh, good Lord.
Anyway, we are at about 1:40, so I guess
we're
running
by fast.
Yeah, I know.
Yes,
and we usually go,
really,
you know,
guys.
There's no rules here.
No.
We can go whatever we want, but we usually keep them about 1:20 or something. But yeah, I don't know. That it's really intriguing, the whole mind thing and how the brain works. It makes you question your whole reality.
And yeah, we just touched on it, you know, a little bit. There's a lot more science.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
There are
yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of videos we watched on this topic. where there's hard science and all these experiments been put in place to figure out why people remember things the way they do.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy when you get into the rabbit hole of these experiments and how they set them up and place these false memories, and it became absolute fact after a couple months or whatever.
Right.
It's crazy. It's almost like me being colorblind, like Eric mentioned earlier. I've always wanted to get those chroma glasses since they came out and see how I'm experiencing the world different. You know, because, I mean, I'm not seeing what you're seeing. I mean, not that I'm so colored. Look, I don't see in black and white.
Right.
It's not black and white, but you know what I mean. Like,
Chris is like a dog. He just sees red.
That's not true, by the way. Dogs see color.
I'm picking.
But no, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not seeing exactly the way you are, for example, or you. Yeah. If you're not, you may be colorblind too, motherfucker. You don't even know it. But
here's my weird thing about this, and please explain this to me, okay? With colorblind, right? If there's somebody who sees, say, red and green the same or backwards.
That's what me and Chad have,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Then, to me, it really, as long as you know, grass is green, you know, the bottom light on the traffic lights is green,
mm-hmm.
and you know where it goes, then whatever you're seeing is green to you. That's what's always
well. Yeah,
weird
that's
to
the
me.
Thing. It's like the memory thing. What I see is reality to me.
Yeah.
Whatever I'm seeing, it's just what my cones are firing.
Right.
You know, my three cones in my eye. So it's absolutely legit. What I'm seeing is to me is reality, but it's not the same to everybody
so
else.
Like
who are not.
Growing up, if you say the grass is green, the sky is blue, and you look at it, and what you see. If I could see through your mind, I would see the grass is brown and the sky is, you know, pink.
But to you, but, it's labeled green and blue.
Differently, yes. So to you, it's, I feel like we're seeing the same fucking thing with different labels, but I really understood that. That's so
yeah, it's
weird.
More of a...
How do you figure it out at some point? How does somebody, as long as you're raised knowing that shade you're seeing for grass is green... How do you have a conversation?
Well, it comes in. What happens?
You're pulling on that.
Oh, what happens is when you're drawing something, and like in my case, an art or whatever, or if I'm looking at TV and say that's a, you know, or maybe I'm drawing a dark purple car, and somebody says that's black,
right.
And I'm like, what do you mean that's black? I'm using I'm using purple. And then you're like, you start, no, that's black. And you start getting into an argument. No, that's purple.
That
so
makes
dark
sense.
Colors.
That's how those conversations take
yeah,
place.
Yeah, that's how they start.
Okay.
It started for me as a kid with my mom, which where I get it from, going, you know, I'd be walking with her through a store or something. Is this black or blue? Or purple or black or something close, something dark in
yeah,
that case.
Right.
And I'd be like, that's black, making fun of her. But then I didn't realize I was seeing the same shit.
By the way, you're wearing a black shirt. I'm wearing a navy shirt.
See, that shirt is black to me.
Right. And I can clearly see navy.
Yeah. Now, when the light changes, I can see it, I'm sure. But right here, from this angle, it's completely black. So that's how it is.
Yeah, that's a trip. When you draw this cool purple car, and then somebody says, hey, cool black car.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
No,
yeah,
that was purple.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a crazy, silly example because the colored pencil would have the color written on it. But
well,
I'm just picking up by the look of the pencil.
Yeah.
I was going to say that could actually also go off on a whole other tangent, which I know we don't have time to get into tonight, about reality, how everybody has their own reality. And I'll give you a really good example. Going back to caricatures, mm-hmm. when I draw a caricature of somebody, I could draw a picture of James. And James may be like, man, Eric, that's the greatest picture I ever had, and love it. But then his mom or somebody or his girlfriend might look at me, I hate that.
That looks nothing like you.
Right, yeah, right.
Right, right.
Because of reality and perception.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, everything.
Everybody has their own way of looking at the world and looking at each other. So I didn't want to get off too much on another tangent.
But well, no, that's basically what we've been discussing is perception.
But that's what, like you say, with memory.
Yeah, it's just your perception.
Exactly.
It's your what's real to you. There is a truth, but it's just you're not lying about it or whatever.
Right.
There is the truth, but there is also in this case your truth to your brain.
Right.
So it's really odd. It's a contradiction almost.
Yep.
Anyway, I guess we'll wrap it up. Be sure to let us know in the comments on YouTube. Go to the YouTube channel wherever you listen and subscribe there. We read the comments. Give us your feedback on this whole memory thing. Have you experienced issues, or have you looked into this before? Have you had these stories, these conflicts with friends and family, you know, where you tell the same story and you're like, no, that's not what happened. And you get an argument about it or something, because me and you have talked about that a lot. Me and Chad have, and I don't remember the same things you do and vice versa. So it's pretty damn crazy. Also remember, this podcast is available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Podbean, and Spotify as well. And if you don't mind, give us a rating there. Before we go, Eric,
yes,
plug whatever you want to plug. He mentioned the caricature thing. So.
Just want to let you guys know I am a full-time illustration and caricature artist, and my website is my last name, which is Melton, and then the word art. So meltonart.com. If you're ever interested in getting anything like that done, you can... I do dogs, love animals. That's been my latest thing I've been really getting into. And I got all that.
Yeah, you're working on a book, right? You're going to do a book?
Yeah, eventually I want to do a book. I started it, and I did a Kickstarter and failed miserably. So I'm just going to spend some more time building up my followers and try again in about a year.
I was going to say, if any of you guys have any pets that you want to memorialize or whatever, whether they're deceased, or maybe like mine, they're kind of getting on their last leg and you want to, you know, have something to always remember them. Just as long as you have a good picture, you can email to Eric. He can make it happen. And it's mind blowing the things he's done.
And I pride myself and not, I don't do, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love, there's a lot of beautiful artwork out there done of animals, but what I'm doing is not more such of a straight up. I'm not making it look goofy by any means, but I'm not doing a straight up portrait either. I'm doing
He captures all the things you notice.
Yes.
All the little things you notice about your pet and you that makes them your unique pet. So like if you have a Boston Terrier, he's not just going to get a stock photo of a Boston Terrier. He's going to look at yours and pull all these awesome, you know, things about it.
Those little details to make your Boston Terrier your Boston Terrier.
He captures their spirit in their eyes and everything.
Right.
It's amazing.
And I'll put that.
I appreciate y'all.
And I'll put that. I'll put that link in the YouTube description and everything. So again, if you're on other podcast platforms, head over to YouTube, check that out in the description, and leave us comments there. We read them all.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I've really enjoyed this.
Yeah, man. We enjoy it. Glad to have you. And we'll say goodbye for now. Till next week, we'll put this up on Patreon early. We'll just let it fade to black.